Good morning. I'd like to give a special welcome to everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us. We're very glad to have you, as Preston mentioned in our the opening announcements. We're going to go ahead and get into our lesson real quick. Titled it Vocabulary. And no, we're not having a spelling test or anything. Things like that. Some people worry. I see the title and I worry, you being a school teacher, you know, I worry about what you're going to do. But vocabulary. A lot of times we hear words, we hear them, but we ask ourselves, well, what does it mean? A lot of times we will read a passage, and I hope you're reading your passages. The last 2 weeks, we've been focusing on Bible study and getting into the Word. And a lot of times we read the Bible and we see words, we may see them all the time. And we just kind of wonder, if somebody asks us, what does that mean? You know what it is, but it's just kind of like, how do I describe it? What exactly is it? And I just want us to go through some of the words that we may see regularly and pinpoint what it means and look at some of the verses that describe it and so forth. One of the words is grace. The religious world often uses grace incorrectly. They throw that one around very freely. But grace is getting something you don't deserve. Grace, there is no way we could have worked our way, merited our way to get what God has given us. It's done by His grace. Let's look at a couple of passages that describes this. In Romans 6, 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And we know that from Romans 3:23, Paul told us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The result of that is the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Left up to us, it would be a sinful death. But that gift of God is the grace. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, he says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." A lot of our religious friends out there, they like to say, "For by grace you have been saved, period." A lot of people like to stop right there. Well, it's in the Bible. No argument here. It is in the Bible. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." There is nothing we could have done enough to deserve that grace. And let's just play the if game. If we could have, we would have probably boasted about it. Got our thumbs up under our suspenders, yupping. About all that we've done. God knew what He was doing when He set this salvation thing up. That we need Him. We need His grace. Romans 5 starting verse 6, it says, for, and this kind of shows grace in real life scenario, real time. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. In Romans 6, Paul is explaining to the people, Paul was explaining in Romans that we people are sinful and that God has given us grace to cover the sin. Some people need a little bit more grace than others, okay? And then the question was coming up, well, if we get grace for sin, why don't we just sin and get a whole bunch more grace? Paul addresses that. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. In verse 15, he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but grace? Again, certainly not. You don't just keep sinning to get more grace. Another word, mercy. This is kind of the flip side of the coin of grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. In Ephesians 4, excuse me, thought I was going to get through this without coughing. Oh, well. But God, Paul is describing God, but God who is rich in mercy. And I'm so thankful for that. In Matthew, Jesus, just by telling the truth, would send the scribes and Pharisees zoom pow right to the moon. They would just go through the roof at the things Jesus said because they were true. And he tells them in Matthew 9:13, he's telling scribes and Pharisees, but go and learn what this means. And he's quoting Old Testament. What do you mean, go? We know it backwards and forwards. They may know the words. But like the scripture Dick read for us today, Jesus wants us to understand his words. Jesus says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And in Matthew 18, Jesus explains the perfect example of what true mercy is. It's that parable of the unmerciful servant. How somebody owed a ton of money to the king and was getting ready to be carted off to jail, and he's begging and pleading, moaning his fate, and the king had mercy on him and forgave that debt. Whew. He goes out, and the first thing he does, he sees somebody that owes him a little bit. Hey, give me my money. Shaking him around. Give me my... I can't. And he's going to have him thrown in jail. And it irritated the people that saw that. And they went and told the king, you got to be joking. Go get him and bring him back here. And now he's brought back and he's standing before the king. Are you telling me, after I forgave you all your debt, that you went out and somebody that owed you a fraction of what you owed me, that you treated them like that? And he had him taken away. Jesus taught that in a parable, and he was telling the scribes and Pharisees, go learn what it means about mercy. Hebrews 4:16, we're told, let us therefore come boldly, talking about prayer, boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's where we get that mercy, is from God. And we have that ability to go boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly in prayer to God. Another word, peace. We read about peace. We hear about peace. Peace is not the absence of chaos. Peace is not that everything's going hunky-dory. It's that idea of being content and having joy in spite of it. We've talked a lot about the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is based on circumstance. Happiness is based on the situation that's taking place at the time. Joy is this peace regardless of the situation. And this peace is only found in Christ. Only. People search for it in money. People search for it in pleasures. What was it the Apostle John wrote about the three paths of sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? You know, the paths of sin, they are searching for it. The Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon thought he could find it in that fountain, looking for the fountain of youth. I'll tell you, the fountain of youth is still alive and is a multi-billion-dollar industry today. You know, oil of Olay and injections make people's lips look like Donald Duck, and, you know, facelifts, and, you know, it is a lot. Hair dye. Hair! But people think they can find peace in their heart through those things. It is only found in Christ. In John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Not in money, not in power, not in love, money, riches, or chocolate chip cookies. Although chocolate chip cookies can make you temporarily happy. I've spoken these things to you that in me you may find peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If you're looking for it in the world, you ain't gonna find it. It's found in me. Words are important. The who, what, when, where, why behind the words sometimes are as important as the actual words. These are important words. They're inspired words from the Apostle Paul. But the fact that he wrote these from a prison cell puts a little different perspective on it. He's not writing these things when things are going great. Everybody can have a smile on their face when things are going great. He's writing these from prison. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul is not saying, don't make the request. Make your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How do you describe that to somebody that doesn't have it? How do you describe it? You can't. They only understand it when they also have it. And it's found in Christ. He goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And when you do those things, the peace of God will be with you. When your mind is channeled in those directions, you'll have the peace of God. The last one I'd like to discuss real quick is redemption. We see the word a lot in the scriptures. Well, exactly what does it mean? When I was little, I was maybe a little older than Chase, and they built Circus Circus. Oh, for a little boy, that I was tickled to death when my mom and dad would take me to Circus Circus and get to play those games. And you play the games and you get tickets. And you could take them one of the stores, one of the shops. It was the redemption center. That's what it was called. That's where you could go trade those tickets that you've won. My mom wound up winning most of the tickets on skee ball. She could do it like nobody's business. But I enjoyed playing the games. I got some tickets once in a while. But you take those tickets to the redemption center and trade these worthless paper tickets for real prizes, toys, gifts of something of value. Trading a ticket and redeeming it for something of value. And that's what it is. It's a trade or payment of a sacrifice to save one from destruction. That's the religious, spiritual definition of redemption. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He traded a worthless, empty, sin-ridden life in for salvation. Wow. For us. In Titus 2:14, Paul wrote to Titus, says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. He gave himself for us that we can be his special people. Ephesians 1:7, Paul wrote, in him. We always talk about being in Christ. This is what it's meaning. We get in Christ when we're baptized into Christ. We don't join. We don't buy our way in. We get into Christ when we're baptized. And Paul says, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter, and I don't think this is on your outline. This was a late addition. This is free. This is a freebie. Won't be on the test. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct. What a description, aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we'll finish up today with Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. This I've heard people use this during the communion to focus our minds on the Lord's Supper. Jesus not only was our high priest, but he was also the sacrifice. He was that perfect sacrifice, but he was the one that would offer it for the people. And in verse 11, it says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. We read these words, grace, mercy, peace, redemption. And sometimes we kind of gloss over without really thinking about what they are. Sometimes maybe not knowing what they are. Now we do. Now we know more. Not saying that I taught it to you, but just kind of focused on these words. Next week, I want to look kind of a part two, a few other words, things like sanctification, propitiation, some words like that that we read. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism to get into Christ, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent, a public repentance of public sin, we have the opportunity. If there's a private sin between you and God, repent privately between you and God. If it's of a public nature, repent publicly. If you're a visitor and have been maybe looking around at some of the congregations of the Lord's church in town and have decided you'd like to work and worship with us here at South Valley and would like to identify with us, that's great too. Whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.